It's time now for the broadcast from the Cathedral of Praise in Greensboro, North Carolina, with Pastor Ray Whittington. Find out more about the Cathedral of Praise and Pastor Ray on Facebook. Just search Cathedral-of-Praise. And you can address correspondence to P.O. Box 4530, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27404. Now with today's broadcast, here's Pastor Ray.
Praise the Lord. And again this morning, it's a great privilege to be able to come to you live, and in living color, as this saying is, to bring you a word from God, a fresh word from God, for us to have some time for the family of God to gather together and worship Him in spirit and in truth. I want to encourage you this morning, keep on keeping on. It's a blessing to be able to press into the kingdom of God. The songwriter said, I've come too far to turn back. My feet have crossed the desert. I've come too far to turn back. That's my testimony this morning. I've come too far. He never said the road would be easy. Sometimes it's not easy. I like to give you an encouraging word before I get to the word sometime, but I was thinking, Jesus said, strive. He didn't say struggle, even though strugglers make it, but he did say strive to enter into the kingdom of God. I've quoted this before, but he said, since the days of John Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. I've said often, I've seen some people, it just seems like that their religion just comes to them so easy and nothing. But every inch I have ever gained in the kingdom of God, I have pressed to get into it. He said press. He said press towards the call and press towards the mark. And I do this sometime because I feel in my spirit that it may be a word for more than one person, but I know it's a word from somebody that's listening to me that the enemy has come against to work against you, and when you look at circumstances or other people or unpaid bills or sicknesses, the devil will want you to say, well, what's the use? Why should I keep on going? But I'm telling you, it'll be worth it all just to see Jesus. Just to see if we had to crawl the rest of the way, if we had to press the rest of the way across from us. There's a family, they've had some situations and circumstances, but there's a little boy that lives there, and I've watched him from the day he was born when they had to push him in a stroller and carry him, and I watched him as he learned to walk, but now he's in the bicycle stage, and he got his little old hat on, which is his helmet on, which is good. When we were growing up, we didn't know there were helmets. God had to take care of us, and He did, I guess. But that's good. I just saw online where a pastor in Alabama lost his life in a four-wheel accident. So we have to use wisdom and be careful. But a few days ago, he was riding around the circle, with training wheels on, and he did that for a few days. But yesterday, I noticed him out there, and the training wheels were gone. And I thought I was going to have to go out and help him, and there was another neighbor out there just kind of standing because he was wobbling. He was just wobbling all over the place, and I thought he's going to fall for sure. But you know what he did? Over and over all day long yesterday, he just kept riding. He just kept riding, and by the time he went in yesterday afternoon, he was pretty steady on that bicycle because he had made up his mind to ride the bicycle. See, you have to make up your mind that you're going through. I've said often, if there's any quit in you, the devil will find it. If there's any quit in you, Lester Summerall preached one of the greatest sermons ever heard. and his sermon was just basically, I would not quit. I just would not quit, regardless of what came, regardless of what the disappointments, even the blessings. Some people get so blessed they quit. They don't feel like they need God anymore. But I'm telling you, just press in this morning. You may feel like I heard somebody that gone through some situations. They'd already made up their mind yesterday that they wasn't going to church today. I'm not going to feel good tomorrow. But if you can get to the house of God, you got time. You got time. It's only a little after 8 o'clock. I'm encouraging you this morning to press. Even if you don't get something, it might be that you being in the house of God can be the effect of somebody else getting help this morning. I've been to foreign countries, nations like Jamaica. They run the church sometimes. They still haven't lost the excitement of going to the house of God. I've been in China, where if you go to church, you're under penalty, a possibility of being put in prison or even your life taken because of the communist situation over there. We're so blessed that still today we can go to the house of God. So that's my word for you today. You may be wobbling this morning. You may, but just hold on. You'll learn to ride. You'll learn to ride, and you can teach others to ride as well. So I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you for listening to the program. The other Sunday when I was unable to be on the program, somebody thought that maybe the program was gone, and it touched my heart that they sent us word. I hope the program is still going to be coming on Sunday morning. So we're here. We're here, but I need to hear from you. I want your prayers. I want your prayers, and of course it takes money to do these things, and you can send me prayer requests, praise reports. You can, as the introduction said, you can follow us on Facebook at Cathedral of Praise, or check out my personal one, Ray Whittington. You can email us at raymwhittington@gmail.com, or you can write us at P.O. Box 4530, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27404. I'd love to hear from you. I like to put names and things to the people who are part of this ministry, and you are part of it just by listening. Want a song? I've got a song for you today by the Cathedrals, and I'm going to come back, but I believe that it's something that will encourage you. But the Cathedrals are going to sing Somebody Touch Me. Praise the Lord.
Would you like to hear Danny sing Somebody Touch Me?
Many years he walked in darkness as he groped along the streets with his hands stretched out for pennies or just one bite to eat. It's the story of the blind man who met Jesus on his way with the master's touch. The man looked up as the scoffers heard him say, somebody touched me, somebody touched me, I was blind but praise his name, I now can see, I was in darkness when Jesus found me, the same.
George, I really wasn't going to say anything because there's been a lot of talk tonight, and it's all been great. And I said, well, no. And the devil tried to tell me, he said, you just get up there and sing. But I want to tell you something. I remember the day Jesus touched me. And I remember he changed my life completely. It was 2 o'clock in the morning, down on my knees in the backyard. The neighbors thought I had went slap crazy. Because I began to shout in the Lord and what he was doing in my life. And I thank God for that this evening. I know without a doubt that Jesus has touched me. One day he touched that crippled man. He made him walk again. Yeah, but Master, he saw with pleasure that he had labored not in vain. The story of that crippled man, who was bound by sin.
That's what happened to me, is somebody, and his name was Jesus, touched me, and now I'm free. I could stay there a minute and get excited and emotional about the fact that there's a personal Savior, and his name is Jesus, and he touched me. Somebody touched me and made me free. Well, we serve an awesome God. We serve a God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we are even able, ask, or think, according to the power that works in us. That's Ephesians 3 and 20. God is a personal God. He works. God does things. He speaks. Last week I talked about the prophet Elisha receiving a word from God about this time tomorrow that some things was going to change, and I believe that God wants to work in our life. He said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I believe that God is able to, we can have such an intimate relationship with him that we can hear his voice enough that he can order our steps, and not only our steps, but we can obey his will for our lives, that we can walk in. Jesus said, I do nothing except my Father tell me to do. Lo, in the volume of the book it's written of me, I have come to do thy will, O God. That's what's so important, is doing the will of God. And God speaks to us to do things. And sometimes they go beyond the norm. Now, you know, I'm not talking about crazy stuff. I've had stuff prophesied over me that God didn't have a thing to do with it. So we have a great responsibility in our own life to know the Spirit of God and know God, to know when something is of God and when it's not of God. It's sad, because people get carried away in emotions of the flesh and they start talking about things that are contrary to the Word of God. And what's happened now in a lot of places, people don't want to take responsibility for the Word that they say over you. You know, the Word of God says if somebody prophesies and it doesn't come to pass, then they prophesied that something's not true. And the Word of God's a little stronger than that, but I'm just trying to be kind this morning. But what they want to say now, if somebody prophesies something over you and it doesn't come to pass, they want to say, well, you know, there must be something wrong in your life, or you didn't have enough faith. But no, when somebody prophesies, they need to know that it's of God. But see, what happens so many times is we are afraid to trust God for the extra things, for the spiritual things, for the powerful things, because of some junk that we may have seen or some things that we may have heard. But I say all the time to you, there cannot be a counterfeit unless there's a real. Because if there's not a real, then what you come up with is the real. It may be bad, it may be harmful, but it's the real thing. And the devil is always trying to counterfeit the things that are God. But see, the Bible said, Jesus said, he said, my sheep know my voice, and to a stranger they will not hearken. I'll never forget it. My daughter Summer one time heard somebody that said that I said something or did something, and she spoke up and she said, I know my daddy. I know my daddy. And so there's no way he would have ever said or done anything like that. And when you get to know God, see, you know the things that are of God. I can promise you, you know, that God's not going to let somebody's husband die or wife die so they can marry somebody else. That's just not the way God works. He said, my sheep know my voice, and to a stranger, they will not hearken. Psalms 103:7 says, he made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of God. See, Glenda and I have been married so long, I not only know what she does most of the time, I know why she does it. And we need to work on getting into a relationship with God to where we not only know what he does, we know why he does it. We can have such an intimate relationship with God that we say, well, I know why the Lord did this. See, you've got to understand that we walk in the miraculous when we walk with God. As I often say, that God is not limited by the laws of nature. He can move. He can open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that we cannot receive. He can rebuke the devourer for our sake. God is not limited. He's not. You can't put him in a box. He's a far cry from what men call reality. God is a miracle-working God. God can do what no other power can do. Isaiah chapter 55 said, his thoughts are above our thoughts, and his ways are past understanding. That's what we need to understand. Let me tell you, see, God, listen to me now, God works on a different thought level than we do. And what we have to do is have the mind of Christ. And when we get the mind of Christ, and we can understand how God's working, God works, God's timing is different than ours. Oh, sometimes I wanted to move, but you can't hurry God. He's a God that you can't hurry. Don't worry, he may not come when you want him to, but he'll come on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He may not come when you want him, but he'll come right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. See, and his methods are different than ours. If I'd have been Moses when I got to the banks of the Red Sea, and had all this, a million and a half or more people to cross over, I'd have said, do we have pontoon boats or can we build bridges? But they didn't have time because Pharaoh's army was coming behind them. So God doesn't ask you what you don't have. He asked you what you do have. And he said, take the rod that budded, take the rod, Aaron's rod that budded, that's what you got, and stretch it over the waters. And the Bible said Moses did as the Lord commanded, and they walked across on dry land. I could go on and on and on and tell you how God does things. I may have shared this one time, but years ago when my oldest sister was living, and her little boy took a turn for the worse when they operated on him in San Antonio, Texas, for heart issues, and the doctor knew that he wasn't going to make it. The Eastern Airline operated in those years, and if I share this, it's worth sharing again. And she wanted my daddy out there, and so I called Eastern Airlines, and they said, no problem, there's a light leaving in 7:30, and she's put me on hold, and came back, and she said, I'm sorry to tell you, but they just sold the last five seats on that plane. And I'm thinking, where are you, God? Where are you, God? My sister needs my daddy. You know, a little boy born, and my sister noticed that his color was not correct. And that's what you do when you love. You notice. And she took him to Walter Reed, and they said, wait till he grows up. By the time he was six, a valve was missing and a hole half a size of a half a dollar. And they probably could have fixed it now, but in those days they didn't have the techniques they do. And so here they are, and she needs him. And I'm thinking, well, God, where are you? You know, and I asked the lady, I said, what's happening? Is the whole family going on vacation? She said, it's oversold. I said, well, you know, what's the next thing that's available? What do you have? She said, there's a flight leaving out at 10:30. I said, well, if that's the best you can do. And my brother took my dad out to Charlotte, put him on the plane. Well, the rest of the story, see, the rest of the story is that you got to understand that the hurricane like came into Florida this week, came in the Gulf Coast. And when they hit San Antonio, the winds were in over 90 miles an hour, and they had to divert the plane to another airport, and they had to come in by bus the next day. But the first plane that was cleared for landing was the one that I thought was a mistake and was asking God, where are things? Well, I'm not going to get to the rest of the... See, praise God. I still rejoice over that. But see, Jesus gave all kind of directions when he was on this earth. At the end of his life, when he was going to fulfill the scripture to ride into the city of Jerusalem on a colt that no man had ever rode, he told the disciples, said, go to a certain village. You go to a certain village, and when you get to that village, there's going to be a colt that's going to be tied, and loose him and bring him to me. Praise God, praise God. Loose him and bring him to me. That's what he said. Loose him and bring him to me. And if anybody says, oh, what's going on, say, the master. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You know, that takes faith. Just to say, well, we'll go to a village, and Jesus said that when we get there, there'll be a colt that'll be there that no man that ever rode. And he's already prepared the heart of the man that owns the animal, that when you say the master needs him, that he bring him to me. And you know the story of how that Jesus rode on Palm Sunday into the Jerusalem, and they spread palm branches and cried Hosanna. Now the next week they crucified him, so don't get caught up in what people think. Because one week they may be praising you, the next week they may be crucifying. That's good preaching, Pastor. When it came time to observe the last Passover he would observe on this earth, he said to a couple of his disciples, go and you'll find a man, and when you find that man, follow him, and he'll go into a place, and when you get there, the master of the house will say, what are you doing here? And just say that Jesus desires to serve, to have Passover at this place. And I was going to get to the book of John, where Jesus told a blind man, said, go wash, go to the pool of Siloam. And that's, you know, but the Bible said he did, and he came back seeing. I don't have time to read all that, the ninth chapter of John, but you know that story. There's 100 sermons in that. Jesus put spittle on his eyes and told a blind man, he didn't say get on the church bus or will sister or brother so-and-so take you. He just said find your way to the pool of Siloam and wash, and when you do, you'll be healed. So we need a relationship with God so that we can hear what he's saying and know what's going on. Well, my time's gone. I'd love to hear from you this week. I really would. Let me bless you before we leave this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the people that's under the sound of my voice. I thank you for the word that you've given me to strive to press in. And I thank you that you said my sheep know my voice and they'll not hearken. And we can live so close to you that we know your ways. We know the ways of the Lord. And God, that you're still a miracle worker, that you're not limited by the laws of man, that when we need you, that we can go beyond what our mind can see and trust God and Take that step of faith and know that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, Lord. Bless these people, the son of the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. May God be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is Ray Whittington saying God bless you. Until next time.
We hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast from the Cathedral of Praise with Pastor Ray M. Whittington. Cathedral of Praise is located at 3529 Rehoboth Church Road in Greensboro, North Carolina. Your support is needed and appreciated for this broadcast. You may address your cards and letters to P.O. Box 4530, Greensboro, North Carolina 27404. And on behalf of Pastor Ray and all the congregation of Cathedral of Praise, we're praying for you. And we hope to see you again right here next week.